Hello and welcome to the Thought Leader Podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner, video journalist and digital media director for the Michigan District. Today we have an important conversation as Michigan District President Dave Davis is joined by Travis Grohlke and Dr. Greg Seltz to talk about key legislative actions that impact the church. This is part one of three separate discussions between President Davis, Travis, and Dr. Seltz.
We have Travis Grohlke, who is the superintendent of schools here in the Michigan District. He's on the staff. I hope I can call him a friend. I think we're pretty friendly in our work together.
That's allowable. That's allowable.
Okay. That's a good sign. And then a fellow I've known a long time, Dr. Gregory Seltz. He's executive director of the Lutheran Center for Religious Studies, speaker emeritus for the Lutheran Hour. But his real claim to fame, of course, is that he's from Michigan.
There you go.
A Michigan boy done good.
Michigan boy. Great to be here, yeah. Dave.
So in our conversation, we want to think about what's going on in the government and how does that impact the church or not impact the church, and how might the church impact the culture or the government? Is that even a good thing to think about doing? And in our first segment, I'd like to talk about some of the issues that are involved in kind of right now, what's going on in Michigan legislatively or governmentally that might impact the church, and then what might be going on nationally. And Travis, I've come to know you as a great ally, great asset. I know you're there in Lansing a lot, talking about education and other things. What are the sorts of things that you see on the radar legislatively that would impact us in the church?
Yeah. I know a few weeks ago we talked about some of the school end of things and we kind of hashed through that already. But some of the big issues I just think for us as Christians here in the state of Michigan, obviously, Proposal 3, we know that from last year, what that means for abortion rights here in the state of Michigan. Not a favorable outcome from our beliefs and where we stand and expansion of abortion really across the state. So that's obviously the big one that I think everybody knows about already. The Elliot Larson, obviously our civil rights language being expanded to sexual orientation, gender identity, that comes into play. That's law beginning in March. We still don't know what that really means for a lot of our organizations in terms of our employment practices and some of those kind of things. So
is that where you think that one would impact us, though, would be in employment?
I think that's got the biggest part of it for employment, our hiring and firing practices. Can we continue to have the individuals that are serving in our congregations and schools that prescribe to what the LCMS teaches and preaches in terms of social issues? That's going to be an interesting one. There's going to be some lawsuits that are going to pop up once that becomes law in March, sure.
Yep. You know, that's true.
Yeah, the conversion therapy thing that everybody's been talking about too, that, you know, now they're saying that's a ban on that. Well, what does that mean? Can a Christian counselor still share the word of God and say, here's what God intends for your life as a born male, born female, those kind of things? And, you know, now the hate speech law has been discussed as well, that if somebody in the LGBTQ community feels terrorized or frightened or threatened, right, some of that terminology in there from what I share. Even if I'm trying to just share God's word and what he means for your life and speaking the truth in love in a caring way, man, if they feel that way, what does that mean for me then? Can I be brought up on anything or have?
Yeah, can I even speak against living together anymore? Can I even speak against any of the libertine things that, because I'm sure people will be saying, well, I don't like that. That doesn't make me feel good. Well, the law of God actually makes us all feel a bit uneasy at times. Back to you, Travis.
No, completely agree. That's a great point. So we're obviously concerned, just trying to stay on the radar and trying to not bury our heads in the sand and say that's the state's issue, not our issue. No, these are our issues, and we need to be able to stand up and speak for what we believe is right for our organizations and really what's right for our communities and our families and our students and all the parents that we serve.
Yeah, I've got one of my buddies, a pastor here in the state of Michigan. He fully expects to be one of the first pastors to be jailed for hate speech. I think he's almost looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, can I jump in on that?
Yeah, please. Yeah. Are you first to be?
I hear all the time about martyrdom. You know, it's prophesied in scripture. I'm just saying we don't need to hasten it, gentlemen. You know, if it comes, it comes. But I think that's what the thing that bothers me a little bit so is that people don't realize that we're not the ones politicizing these things. Let's get that correct. We as a church, we understand we need government in our lives, but the Bible even demonstrates that it's a limited thing. I mean, in Romans 13, it's really supposed to be just law and order, and that's about it. The rest of it, the founding fathers said, should be free citizens solving their own problems in community, motivated by their faith and self-governing. Well, that's the structure we should be living in. We are now dealing with people who say, no, the state is everything. Politics is everything. And so they're co-opting all this stuff. They're not liberals. They're not conservatives. They're what I call statists. So I think that's a thing we've got to get to our people. We're not the ones politicizing. We're trying to take politics out of a lot of this stuff so we can minister to our neighbors. Yeah. And that's the challenge. That is going to be the challenge.
We have some things, Greg, in the state of Michigan, kind of right here in our face. And it's been almost breathtaking, some of the legislation just in the last 6 months or so. What about on a national level? And I know you're from Michigan, but you're sitting in more of a national seat. What sorts of governmental...
Well, and we're going to have to watch. Yeah, we're going to have to watch the national level, because what often happens when they lose at the state level, then they go to the national level or they go to the Supreme Court and they try to wipe out what states are doing with one fell swoop too. So yeah, we've got the same kind of things. We've got, you know, the Respect for Marriage Act, which is actually the Disrespect for Marriage Act, which really begins to limit, it begins to take marriage and make it not the institution that God wants it to be, which is father, mother, child, and then the lineage of the family. It just makes it a relationship. And it literally destroys the concept of marriage if you think about it. The Equality Act or those kinds of things, every one of those pieces of legislation targets the church. And it basically says if you have a limited view of marriage between a man and a woman, or you have a limited view of sexuality, that is supposed to be done within the context of marriage or between a man and a woman alone, you now are an enemy of the state. And you know, you get to that point, you say, wait a minute, what is the state doing involved in these conscience issues? That's the real issue, folks. Whatever your view of marriage is, you might actually disagree with our view of marriage. All we're saying is let us have the ability to teach and preach what we know to be true and to build communities around that, respectfully disagreeing with you on your view of marriage, as you can do with us. And so our view of this stuff is to get engaged in these things. And of course, then all the stuff where businesses are being targeted and the Supreme Court stuff that we deal with on a daily basis, where we're actually trying to get people to understand we're not the ones acting rogue. We're actually just trying to say these constitutional protections are for all. In fact, I was just thinking, Travis, about what you were talking about. The main constitutional case on religious liberty is Hosanna Tabor. It's a Michigan church. Yep. And I've talked to the principal about that. And we've got judges right now on the lower courts who are trying to undermine that. And one of Biden's appointees really is targeting Hosanna Tabor. And they're basically saying sexual orientation is going to be the case that does it. So you get to these points and you say, what's the point? All I'm saying is we're pushing back and saying the state doesn't have a role to play in these things. That's all we're doing. We still have to converse with our neighbors who might disagree with us and be good neighbors to people who are different than us. But they're saying, we don't like these differences and we're going to use the state's coercive power to shut you up. Yeah. Folks, you should be afraid of that. That's not the right word. You should be concerned about that, because that eventually will go after the gospel message itself.
Yeah, just what you say, we don't want to be afraid. Our king reigns forever and ever, but we sure need to be aware of what's going on around us. Aware of the different challenges. They're different for every day, every time. I don't know if these are the worst of times, but these are our times.
There are times.
What's going on.
Let me just jump in too and say the one other thing that I think we Christians forget about, like I'm involved in legislation, I'm seeing what's going on in the Supreme Court, but then we've got these agencies, whether it's the Department of Education, whether it's Health and Human Services, whether it's the EEOC, and they are subtly changing definitions of words without any legislative action and then imposing it on our churches and on our people and on Christian businesses. The biggest one is sex protection versus sexual, you know, sex means sexual identity. Well, that's not what it means in the Equal Rights Amendment or legislation. It means sex, male, female. So what we've done on the Hill, for instance, is we, whenever we deal with these things, we use the words male and female, healthy male to male, healthy female to female, healthy male to female. We've had people of, we've had Christians, non-Christians, atheists, even, we've had people of all swaths sign that document and say they'll talk that way. They don't use heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, because those are constructs. So again, just getting involved in this and realizing we shouldn't have, we've got to stand up and say, don't, you can't change that legislation or you can't change that verbiage without some kind of official action that honors the will of the people. And that's the stuff that's most concerning to me, because it's going to affect our schools, our preschools, and our universities almost immediately.
I want to come back in a second to something else you brought up very briefly, Greg. But Travis, Greg mentioned the different departments. What about the concerns about, say, the Department of Education here in the state of Michigan? I think you work with those folks very closely. What sorts of things are you seeing growing out of that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that big one that, that Greg already touched on is when these House and the Senate here in Michigan make these things and the governor signs it into law, and then come March, what does that mean for the Department of Education, for MDE standpoint, and how we do things collectively as a group of non-public schools? Vitally important that we're keeping an eye on that, that we're still standing up and letting our voice be heard. Again, Plug and Mans, our Michigan Association of Non-Public Schools, we're grateful for their advocacy, our Catholic brothers and sisters that we walk alongside as well in Lansing, because they're saying we, government wants to do what they want to do, but don't infringe upon our religious rights to continue to practice and do the things that make us who we are as non-public schools.
Yeah, right. You know, one of the reasons to be doing this is I do want our people to know that we are paying attention to this. You know, people say, well, why isn't the church doing, what's the Lutheran? We have good men like the two of you and others fully engaged and fully aware of some of the things that are coming against us. And Greg, you brought up briefly in terms of these pressures coming against how we live as Christians, the business community.
Right.
And that's beyond the legislative, but there is a governmental component about what they're allowed to do, or say something about the pressure of business.
Yeah, one of the Fairness for All Act that actually did pass, it kind of was, look, these guys are, it's tough to keep on top of it. When they did the Respect for Marriage Act, they merged a bunch of stuff into that under the euphemistic title Respect for Marriage. And one of them had to do with businesses, and it supposedly protected Christian schools, but it did not protect Christian businesses. And the point I'm saying is, usually that's one way to kill a school, is to make sure that the business can't thrive and give to you. Because, you know, if you get identified with a Christian school that teaches marriages between a man and a woman, you're now a bigot. Well, that businessman now has to think twice about donating to that school or sending their child to that school. So it's a terrible way to get at this. Let's just be honest about what marriage is, and let's talk about it. And unfortunately, we're kind of throwing our businesses to the wolves a bit. Now, the businesses themselves are fighting back, but I just interviewed Lori Smith, 303 Creative. It took her 8 years to litigate to finally be able to do her business. Jack, you know, when you start to think about, you know, Baronel Stutzman, who was put out of business just because she believes in Christian marriage, that's the kind of stuff that's happening around the country, and we should be shocked by that. That should not happen in a free country, especially when these people, when you find out who they are, they're really wonderful, loving, caring, great neighbors. Even the people that supposedly brought the lawsuits against them actually said they were good people. And so again, well, then why did you, as a state, put them out of business? That's the kind of stuff that we have to push back on, that to live in a civil, humane society. And we're not just doing that to protect ourselves. We're doing that because that's a better place to live.
Yeah. I don't know if this is an apocryphal quote or not, but it's one of those things that they say, Mark Twain said there are two books everybody should read, and one was the Bible and the other was the daily newspaper. And of course, almost nobody gets the daily newspaper anymore. But we, as Christians, we need to be aware of what's going on. We can't just close our eyes and say what happens in Lansing or what happens in Washington doesn't matter. You know, ultimately, our king reigns. So, yeah, in the end. But in the meantime, part of our stewardship of ministry has got to be knowing what's going on and being able to relate to it. So this is a great conversation, fellas. I appreciate your time. And I'm grateful that you're giving our people some things to be looking at, watching for, and being aware of as we think about doing Christian ministry in our day and age. So thank you, and we'll be back with another segment very soon.